Good morning. My name is Lawrence Everett Martin. Most people know me by Buddy. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I'm coming to you this morning as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And I have a message from the King. So I want you to listen to what the King has to say. And you say, I love you, Jesus. Go with me, if you would, please, to John chapter 8. I'm going to read down through a few scriptures, make a few comments, and we'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll tell you the track that we're going to follow. Do you know that every time the man of God steps into a pulpit, he has a message from the King? If he's gotten it from the King, he's got it from the King. That's why it's so important that we listen with our hearts to what the Holy Spirit's going to say to us. It may not be anything that the man says necessarily, but God will speak to you through the lines, and He'll apply things to your own life. In John chapter 8, verse 48 through 59, I'm going to read down through here. The Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is one of the most awesome exchanges in the New Testament writings. Jesus identified who he was. And this is why they wanted to throw stones at him. He wasn't saying that he's only the Messiah. He's saying he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What he's saying is that I am eternal. I have always been, always will be. I am the I am. Now, this is why they wanted to stone him. But what was the real issue? The real issue was that these Jewish leaders, had they truly loved God, they would have recognized, at least they would have suspected who Jesus really was. Because you can't love God without loving the Son of God. He's God incarnate. Even the temple soldiers that were sent to apprehend Jesus, they didn't apprehend him because they heard him talk. And when they came back to the temple authorities, they asked, why didn't you bring him? And they said, never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. Remember that phrase. Because when Jesus speaks into your life, it's not anybody else. It's not a voice to be confused over. And then when the centurion was at the cross and Jesus breathed his last, the centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. But there's something else I want you to see this morning. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That was a key that we're going to look at today, because the Bible never ever tells us to follow in the steps of Moses or in the steps of the law. The Bible only tells us to follow in the steps of Abraham and by extension, the steps of Jesus Christ. So, what does this really mean? We're going to look at some of the heart mysteries of the faith. And our subject this morning is following in His steps. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in coming together and gathering together as we should as a church, Lord. What a thrill and a joy to lift our hands together, to clap our hands, to praise your holy name, to just worship in one voice, just to have our hearts open to you and to your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we approach the most sacred moment of any service, which is the rendering of truth from your word. But I know, Father, that you alone are the teacher, so help me to speak as I should. Thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered here, Lord, today. And let the holy bread of heaven be for each one. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is where we're going to go. I'll give you the trail. I'll give you the track. We'll be going into three areas. First of all, number one, and God called Abraham. We're going to talk about that. And God called Abraham. Secondly, we're going to talk about the children of God, who they are and who they're not. We'll talk about the children of God. And then thirdly, in the steps of Jesus. We're going to talk about that little title, In the Steps of Jesus. Now, and God called Abraham. The Apostle Paul was writing to the believers in the city of Rome, and in his letter, he says that God's righteousness is given to those who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Now, I think it's very important to see this, very important to understand this, so we're going to pick up with Romans 4. Go with me if you would, please. Romans 4. Now, I want you to listen to a little bit of the language here. Verse 13, and we're dealing with the issue of, and God called Abraham. Romans 4:13 said, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Drop down to verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Promise may be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. I want you to notice the second part of verse 17. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, this scripture often gets butchered, mangled, I should say, sometimes by faith teaching. We have to be real careful. But the context is salvation. And the point is that you were dead in your sins. You were dead in your sins. Every child of God has been called into being. Something that you weren't, you have now become. You are alive. And so where did Abraham's walk with God begin? It didn't begin because he chose to follow the Lord. It began because he heard a voice calling him. Now, if you go to Genesis 12:1, we'll look at this. I want you to see the very beginning of Abraham's walk with the Lord. Genesis 12. This is the first time we have a record of where Abraham's walk with God actually began. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, now his name's changed to Abraham later, but he's called Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham's walk began when the Lord spoke into his life. God called into being that which did not exist. God gives life to the dead. You were dead in your sins and in your trespasses, according to the Apostle Paul. You've been made alive in Christ, but you're made alive in Christ because you heard the voice of Jesus Christ calling you. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, when Jesus was saying that, that's in John chapter number 10. When he said that, he explained it in the metaphor of an Eastern shepherd. Not like our great sheep herders today and great cattle farmers. These Eastern shepherds all had their little flock. And they would all bring their flocks together and put them in one sheep. The sheepfold was a place for all the flock. All the people came together and they brought their flock, put them in sheepfold. When it came time for the shepherd to get his sheep, he called them by name. Isn't that interesting? Every sheep knew the voice of his own shepherd. If the wrong shepherd called and called his name, he wouldn't respond. Why? Because he knew the voice of his shepherd. And he would lead them out one by one. And Jesus said that they would follow him. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." The point is that Abraham's faith life was an outworking of God speaking into his life. Do you agree with that? In the Hebrew language, we get the name Leviticus from the Latin out of the Greek. But in the Hebrew language, the name of that book is Vayikra, which means, "and he called." It is a priestly book. It is a book of worship. It is a book of a call to God, come together to God. And so it begins with, the first few verses of the book of Leviticus begins with, "Then the Lord called to Moses." And my point is this, is that your walk with God begins with a living voice. No one can be saved who has not heard Jesus speaking to their heart. No one can be saved who hasn't felt the compelling of irresistible grace as He draws you to Himself. He didn't give us a religion. He gave us Himself. We have to weed through our religions, folks. Eventually we get past that. He called us to Him. He called His sheep to Himself. He flocks us where He wants us to be flocked, but He calls His sheep to Himself. And this is what Paul meant when he said in Romans 10:17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the living voice of Christ." That Greek word rhema means a spoken or a living voice, someone that is speaking. Right now I'm rhema, you're hearing me. Well, faith to be saved, faith of salvation comes because we heard Jesus speaking to our heart. And we responded to Vayikra. And he called and said, "Come out from among them. Be separate and come to me. I'll be a father to you. I'll live with you. I'll walk with you. I'll be among you. I'll share my life with you. You'll share your life with me. I will lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I will cause you to rest by the still waters. I will feed you. I will provide you a place when the wolves are all sitting around you and everything else seems to be breaking down. Don't worry about it. I'll prepare you a meal in the presence of your enemies. Vayikra, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find rest for your soul." Vayikra, and he called. This is the Abrahamic walk, brothers and sisters. If you go to John 10, I'd almost like to read the whole chapter of John 10, but just look at a little bit of it. John chapter 10, verse number 16. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold," that is, they're not talking about Gentiles throughout all the different nations, people who will be saved. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." How many folks know that we all have the same shepherd? Now, of all the promises that were made to Abraham, there was one promise that is the centerpiece of all the promises, and it was the heart promise about children. Now, going back to Genesis 15, I want you to see this. Very important for us to see this. And listen, because Abraham has had several experiences with the Lord, but he comes to a place where there is a transfer of full trust. There's something unique about your walk with the Lord. Every experience, every valley, every trial that He brings you through is to teach us to trust Him and to trust Him more, to trust Him more, to trust Him more. We don't start out trusting Him with a whole lot. We do trust Him as our Lord and Savior, but when we learn about life, we want to kind of hold on to a lot of stuff. You know, because we don't think He wants to be too involved in the little details of our life. He wants to be involved in our whole life. He wants to share His life with us. But I just want you to listen to this heart promise about children, because it's going to bring us into this next area, because there's going to be some special children who will be without number, but they're going to shine like the luminaries or like the stars. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now here Abram has a vision. It's as real as it is you looking at me today or me looking at you. And in the vision, the voice of God speaks to him. The word of the Lord came to him. And by the way, the word of the Lord is a person. This is Jesus speaking to him. Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Don't you like that? I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. Then he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Something is happening in Abraham's life that every step is designed to bring him to this place of absolute and full trust in the Lord. But here God makes him a promise that you're going to have special children. There are going to be special children come from your descendant. And you're not going to be able to number them. You don't have to worry about one heir. There's going to be the heir, but out of the heir is going to come multitude of children like the stars. But not just because of number, but they're going to shine like the star. These are going to be glorified children of God. This is an awesome thing that we're reading right now, folks. This is the message from the King, by the way. So now we need to say, we need to find out who are the children and who aren't the children. This brings us to the second area. Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter number 2. Now, as we read this, you're going to hear the language God spoke to Abraham. You'll hear some of it, because when the apostles did their teaching and their preaching, they preached from the prophets. They preached from what God had said. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's promises. So if you look at Philippians 2, verse number, I'm going to read down through verse number 9. This is speaking of the work of the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the glorification of Jesus Christ. So now let's pick up at verse 9. Listen carefully to the language. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now he's talking about the Abrahamic walk. Trusting in the Lord. Walk out your salvation. Salvation is just the realm of your life. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. These statements are very important. Who is at work in my life? Who was at work in Abraham's life? Who moved in Abraham's life and mixed his life with Abraham? It was God Himself. So he's saying something very similar. It is God who is at work in you. You know, we used to years ago, you've heard this often, we only quoted half of a statement. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody starts fearing and trembling. You should have read the rest of that statement, folks. Don't just make people fear and tremble. Read the rest of what the apostle said. For it is God who is at work in your life, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. In other words, trust yourself to the hands of God. Don't grumble and dispute and try to figure everything out for yourself. Do all things without grumbling, without disputing. Now listen carefully. So that you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now, I'm going to read that last part of that statement in what's called the analytical literal translation. This is what it literally is saying, and you'll hear it, what God said to Abraham. You shall become unblemished and innocent in the midst of a crooked and having been perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the universe. Abraham, come outside. I want you to look to the heavens. I want you to think about what I'm fixing to tell you. You see all those billions of stars. I put them there. I'm talking to you, Abraham, in a vision. Listen to me. Don't worry about one child. There's going to be a one child, but there's going to be multiplied millions of other children. You're not going to be able to number them, but they're going to shine like luminaries and like stars in the universe. Now, I know that this means more than one thing. It means, for one thing, that you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. True Christians will always identify themselves. They make themselves known. They are the attraction of God in the earth. But I believe it also means something else. I believe that in the world of darkness, there's literally a lighting shine, shining light from every child of God that Satan recognizes. You appear as shining stars in the cosmos. Every child of God has the light of Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the darkness. I am the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness could not overcome it. Then he went on to say, now you are the light of the world. That is, the light of Christ shines in the heart and the life of every child of God. Don't think for a minute that demons don't know who the children of God are. Now, but he said, he talked about this having been a crooked and a perverted generation. Paul's quoting from Genesis 15, but he's also quoting from Deuteronomy 32. And I want you to see that one also, because Peter quotes from Deuteronomy 32 on the day of Pentecost. Go back for a moment. I want you to see this. You've seen me use it before, but it's very important to our instructions today, because we're talking about the children of God, and we're talking about Abraham's heart promise, who the children are and who the children aren't. Now, in Deuteronomy 32, Moses is giving a song. This is the last days of Moses. This is the end of the 40 years of wandering. Moses is fixing to leave, go be with the Lord. He's given his final will and testament. I just want you to listen to a little bit here, though. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 3, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. Aren't you happy about that? A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. They, that is, those who are not truly His children, they have acted corruptly toward Him. They are not His children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. This is exactly what Paul said. They are twisted-minded people, unable to come to grips with true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, lost and destined for damnation. They are pretenders to the faith. And so when Paul wrote that, he wrote that to the Philippian church, but Peter also quoted from this on the day of Pentecost. The very last thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost was, "Be saved from this perverse generation." What is the point? Well, the point is, who are the children of God? Here they are. The children of God are those who have come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. It is no longer religion. It is no longer the laws. It is no longer the do's or the do-nots. They have embraced Jesus. They have received Jesus. They have come into, He has come into their heart. They have heard His call. They responded to His call. And now they live with the voice of the Lamb in their life, guiding them through all the problems and issues of life. He's there on the mountaintops. He's there in the valleys. He's there in your victories. He's there when you look like you have the wind knocked out of your sails. He's still there. True children of God are those who have come to a living faith in Jesus. They know Him. He knows them. He is at work in them. He is in their heart by their spirit, by the Spirit. And the ones who are not the children of God who are those who think that they can earn their salvation by who they are and what they can do. And God must pay attention to them. They don't come by faith through grace in Jesus. They don't simply recognize that they're sinners, undone and lost and need to be saved. And so they tell God, "You must accept me on my terms." That is prideful flesh. God accepts nobody on their terms. If you perchance were to walk to the gate of heaven and Jesus was there, and He were to ask you, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" And you were to say, "Well, because I did thus and so. Because I was very religious. Because I spoke in tongues." Pardon me, folks, I'm going to add that one. "Because I did this and that." You're not going to get in. But if you respond, "Lord, because I received You as my Lord and Savior, and I believe in You and trusted in You, that You died for my sins," He's going to say, "Welcome, child. Enter in." We need to understand this. Well, this is a very important issue because the gospel can get skewed very easy if it's not being preached right. I told you I come as an ambassador today for the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be saved, you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You confess Him as your Lord and your Savior. And the moment that happens, there's a divine interchange that takes place in your heart. There's a seal of testimony that goes in your heart. I don't care what religion you're coming from. If you have that seal of testimony, you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. Because in your heart has been placed a seal. And nobody can change that testimony. His Spirit, according to Romans 8, testifies to your spirit that you are a child of God and you're an heir with Jesus Christ. It's an awesome thing, folks, to make sure that we're preaching the message right. That people understand, that we don't make it hard for people to be saved. Jesus took the hardness out of it when He suffered on the cross and died in our place. You can't earn your salvation, folks. All you can do is receive it. And it's so important that we understand this. So my point is that no one works their way to heaven and no one can keep enough laws to get the right to go to heaven. Folks, the law of Moses was never designed to save anybody. It was not a salvation covenant. It was a covenant to show the need of a Savior. And everything in that covenant spoke of their need. They couldn't keep the laws. It was impossible to keep the laws. So they started adding laws on top of laws on top of laws. It's called the traditions of the elders. Nobody could keep them. But it was to show them, make them ever mindful, "I need someone to save me perfectly." Go with me, please, to Galatians chapter 3. Listen to the language of the great apostle. Galatians chapter 3. Now, we're dealing with the children of God. It's so important to get this. I don't know why it's so hard to get this message across to some people, but you just keep ministering it. Look at Galatians 1. I'm just going to start reading. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit? This is the Spirit of Jesus. You Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, salvation. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you hear the voice? Did you hear the call? Did you hear Varikra? Come to me. How did you receive the Spirit of Christ? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? We're hearing something. See, this hearing with faith means you're hearing Jesus. You're hearing the Lord. You're hearing His message. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons, who are the sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not a faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. That's not faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to all the nations, to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, the promise of God's presence in your life on a daily measure, you receive it through faith. Look at verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How are you a son of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. How are you a daughter of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs, according to the promise made to Abraham. Heirs according to the heart promise. Heirs that spoke of the stars that Abraham looked at. One day your children are going to be shining children. They may not feel like shining children in this life, but the end result is they're going to be shiners, I'm telling you. They're going to share in the glory of my son Jesus. Do you see that? This is so awesome. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to get this message across. I guess because it's pride of flesh. But my point is that if Abraham needed a Savior to help him work out his life, what do we need? Folks, listen to me. Abraham was not a perfect man. Abraham lied. Abraham got in trouble on more than one occasion. And when he got in trouble, did God say, well, that boy didn't measure up to what I've got. I'm going to find me somebody else. No, God was with him in the valley, in the trouble, and God was with him in the victory. Because God was helping him walk his life through. And every step Abraham made was designed for one thing. Abraham, just trust me. You can't see it through. I can see it through. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham, all I want you to do is trust in me. Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Your heart is right with me. You may stumble in your deeds at times, but your heart has been made right with me. And we see that same pattern of rightness passing down through the pages of the Bible. We look at a man called David. Nobody messed up more than David. I thank God David in the Bible. I love him. Makes me feel good when I read about David. Boy, I didn't do that, David. I didn't do that. Well, I got no, you know, you did other things. But the Bible says David was a man after God's heart. I had found me a man, Vayirika, and he called. And I called him out of darkness. And I called him into my marvelous light. And I called him to walk with me. And I called him to trust in me. Do you trust in Jesus today? This is so important for us to understand this. Now, these are the children of God. The children of God are those who have faith in Jesus Christ. They trust in Him. They love Him. They know Him. They responded to the call. They have the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. They walk with Him. Now that brings me to what the Abrahamic, how it rounds itself out with Jesus Christ, because we need to talk about in the steps of Jesus to round this ministry out. Let me ask you a question. What is the heart of your faith? Isn't it Jesus? Isn't that what your faith is really all about? Doesn't being born again really mean sharing His life? Isn't that really what being born again is all? You didn't have His life before. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses. You didn't have His life before. So isn't being born again literally just sharing His life? Isn't it having Christ in your bosom, Christ in your life, Christ around you, Christ in your troubles, Christ in your mess-ups, Christ in your victories? Isn't that what really being born again is all about? Did not Paul say, I have been crucified with Christ? Didn't he say that? Well, so you can quote that. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I'm sharing my life with Him. He's sharing His life with me. He's giving me His victories. I'm giving Him my foul-ups. I don't know who'd get the better end of the deal. I think Jesus really is. He loved you enough to die for you. So we have this issue. You know, if you look at Galatians 2, I got you in Galatians. Go back to Galatians. We just quoted Galatians 2:20. You ever notice what Galatians 2:21 says? Verse 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God. How many folks know that you're to live by grace? It's grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If I could be right by keeping all kinds of law, then why did Christ die? What was the point of His death? I can't keep them. I can't save myself. I am a wicked sinner, lost and undone. I need a Savior who will call me out of darkness into His light. I need someone who will stay with me and be with me every day of my life. Because I'm going to make some blunders in life. Y'all never have, but I made a lot of them. And I need somebody that'll be with me all the way. Gonna pick me up when I stray. And when I'm down, He's not gonna crush me. I may be that smoking wisp of a thing, but God's gonna breathe life and get me up and get me going again. Do you understand that, folks? It's so important to understand that. Now, when you study the life of Abraham, this is what you're gonna find out. I love studying. I love it so much because I try to go through the Bible. I can't always make it through every year, but I read it through constantly, and I'm back over there again. I'm enjoying Abraham. I'm enjoying Isaac. I'm enjoying Jacob. Because God never told me to walk with Him to follow in the steps of Moses. God never told me to follow in the steps of the law. He told me to follow in the steps of Abraham. Well, if I don't know what those steps are, I've got to go back and find out what they are. Well, the first step of Abraham was, Abraham, come follow me. See, the Lord was speaking into his life, and God was with him in all moments of his life. In fact, in the New Testament, there's one centurion that had more insight into this than even the disciples had. And that may sound kind of odd. The disciples were with Jesus every day, but there was a Roman soldier, a centurion with over 100 men. There was a Roman centurion who had insight into who Jesus really was, and yet his disciples didn't at that time. If you go to Matthew 8, I want you to look at something, because this needs to be part of your language to the Lord, part of your feelings for the Lord, part of your faith and your trust in the Lord, if you will do what this centurion did, if you will walk with Jesus with the insight this centurion gave, I just want you to listen carefully because we're going to pick up something here. We're talking about in the steps of Jesus, but I want you to see this first of all. Verse number 5. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, now listen to this, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening with your heart? Lord, and this amazes Jesus. Let's read on. For I also am a man under authority, and with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, that is those who should have received Jesus, will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. Are you listening to what he's saying? Lord, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to send me a healing cloth. You don't have to send me some kind of picture of me to look at and bow down to. All I want you to do, Lord, is speak into my life. Speak to my heart. Tell me what you want me to do, Lord. I know that's all you have to do. Now, the disciples didn't understand that yet. Because a little further down in this chapter, if you look at it with me, look at verse number 24, the same chapter. They're in a storm. Verse 24, behold, there was a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the wave, but Jesus himself was asleep. They came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. He said to them, why are you so afraid? You men of little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and he became perfectly calm. Now listen carefully. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I kind of wish Jesus had said this, go talk to the centurion, he'll tell you. He didn't choose to do that, but I thought to myself, I said, man, Lord, it would have been nice if you'd said, okay, boy, go back over there and talk to that Roman centurion. He can tell you who I am. You're still having a struggle with it. You don't know who this is. You're learning, but you don't yet know. One day you're going to really know, and you're going to walk with me like nothing you ever saw in your life. You're going to trust me and love me and call upon my name, and I'm going to answer you. I'm going to show you things you've never heard of or seen before. I'm going to be with you in your distresses. I'm going to be with you in your prison. I'm going to be with you when the doors of the prison open. I'm going to be with you when it comes time to cross over. I will be there. What was the last word Jesus gave the apostles just before he ascended? He said, I am with you always. Remember this. I am always with you even to the end of the age. I will always be with you. I told you I had a message from the king. Are you listening? Something God wants you to hear today. You know, this is so important. That, you know, if you go to 1 Peter 2, this is where we get the message concerning the work of the cross. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And drop down, if you would please, just to 21 through 25. For you have been called, 1 Peter 2, 21. For you have been called. How many folks know you've been called? You heard the voice of the Lamb. You've been called to Jesus. But there's a purpose. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Jesus has given you the same relationship He had with the Father. You have that relationship. You're going to be called to make the testimony of your faith in Jesus. You're going to be called to walk with your own cross. You're going to be called to give up your own life. And you're going to be called to say, not my will, but yours be done. That's going to be the call and the voice of your life. I'm calling you to the cross, to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. While being reviled, He did not revile in return. So this is something we learn. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and what? And guardian of your soul. He is your Shepherd. He is your guardian. I want you to see that. We are called to live out the cross, but we need to remember what this means. Our life begins at the cross. It completes itself in heaven. We must always learn to look through the lens of the cross. Folks, you folk who are coming to the disciples' heart, you're going to hear this statement. Hold tightly to Jesus. Hold loosely to the world. Trust His almighty hand to lead you and to guide you. Let Him speak into your life. He said, I'll be with you always. Jesus is the way of God. Jesus is the truth of God. And Jesus is the life of God. Jesus is our journey to heaven. He is our journey. You know, all you have seen that little picture of footsteps. Remember that little, you have two paths, footsteps walking down the sandy. All of a sudden you only have one pair of footsteps. And you remember the story about that. Oh, Lord, why did you leave me in these terrible times of my life? And Jesus said, well, I didn't leave you. I picked you up and carried you. There are going to be many times in your life He's going to have to carry you because you can't do it, but He can do it. Now, the ancient sages had a saying. They called it the footsteps of Messiah. And that the footsteps of Messiah walked across the Bible and walked through your life. And He carries you with Him. I am 65 years old, and I've made a lot of mistakes and a lot of blunders and had a lot of victories. I'm telling you, I've never seen a time in my life that Jesus wasn't with me. He is your victory. I am your life. He is your salvation. Go back to Psalm 84. I have a scripture I just want to leave with you. One of the most beautiful pictures we have of the footsteps of Jesus is in Psalm 84. And I know some of you older folks have heard me refer to this many times. I love it because it's all about Jesus. You know that little Irish girl from Kentucky, Appalachian Mountains, used to sing a song, Through the Good Times and the Bad. I know about Dottie Rambo. Somebody asked her a question, why do you always sing about the valleys? She said, well, if I'd been to Hawaii, I'd sing about Hawaii. I've been to the valley. And I met Jesus in the valley. He restoreth my soul. That's where you're going to come to know Jesus more than any other place, is in the distresses of your own heart when you're kicking and don't know what to do and you're getting mad and you're feeling like you're losing everything. But all of a sudden you find the restorer of the soul right there with you, and He brings this calmness to your life. And He says to you, everything's going to be all right. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Makes you want to get Pentecostal, doesn't it? Nothing wrong with that, folks. Just love the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. Well, here we have Psalm 84, beginning at verse number. Let's see. Verse number 8, I guess. But let me read verse number 8. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold your shield, our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, which is mean trusting in Him. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see it? Now, pass over to the next psalm. Look at verse number 8. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones. Godliness means toward God. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now listen carefully as we read the rest of this. Loving kindness and truth have met together. This is what happened at the cross, folks. Truth walked the earth, loving kindness looked down from heaven. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, the Father and the Son, in oneness together. Thank you, Jesus. Truth springs from the earth as Jesus, righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. And this is what I want you to see in verse 13. Righteousness will go before him. Can you read the rest of that with me? And make his footsteps into a way. You hear it? And make his footsteps into a way. What are the footsteps of Jesus? He walked through the cross right up into heaven. Where are you going? God's going to bring you through the cross and right up into heaven. That's why old timers sang these songs. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Right? Somewhere beyond the blue. It's an awesome thing. It all begins, where does it begin? It begins with, and the Lord called Abraham. Can you identify with that statement, folks? Can you really identify with that? Has the Lord called you? Someone might say, well, how will I know? Well, you'll know, do you love Jesus? That's a sign. Do you have faith in him? That's a sign you're saved. How many folks know that faith in Jesus Christ is a positive sign that you're a born again person? You couldn't have faith in Jesus if he didn't call you to him. But what are you going to trust in? That's the sign of your salvation. That shows you have the seal. You remember the lights, the stars? One day, the Bible says, we are going to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what that means, folks. I don't even know how to imagine it. I know Jesus said they're going to be like angels. That had to refer something to the glory. But that great light of God. You know, when Paul was struck down the road to Damascus, he was blinded by the great light. He never forgot that, because that light he was blinded by was the light that was over the mercy seat in the tabernacle of Moses called Shekinah. Or the glory, HaKavod, the glory. And that light surrounds him, and he hears a voice coming out of the excellent glory. He hears a voice coming out of that light saying, Shaul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? It is Jesus whom you're persecuting. Kind of hard, isn't it, Saul, to kick against the convictions, huh? And he came to Jesus. From that moment on, he walked with the Lord. So where does it begin for us? Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. It is the Father's will that all he gives me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. How can he do that? Because I'm going to exchange lives. I'm going to take their life into me, and I'm going to give them my life. We're going to co-join our lives together, and I'm going to be with them always. You know, I got to close it at this point, I guess. But you know, you read the book of Revelation. Is it any wonder that the elders threw their crown down at the feet of Jesus? You ever thought about that? They were given their crowns. Why didn't they keep them? And hadn't they earned them? They took their crowns off and threw them at the feet of Jesus. I got a strange feeling we're all probably going to do the same thing. Lord, you saved me. You were my Savior and you were my Lord every day of my life. I'm going to be able to say with David, I once was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop, folks. I just want to say that the Apostle Paul talks about the upward call in Christ Jesus. How many folks know that the last call you're going to hear on this earth from the voice of the Lamb is going to be, come up here? Did you know that? Did you know that the word church in the Greek literally means that? doesn't mean that. I'm going to tell you what it means. It comes from two words. It means ekklesia. Ekklesia means he called out, called you to worship, called you together. It's a very similar word to the word Hebrew word vayikra. See, we think of church, we think, you know, we think a lot of times of the building or the gathering place, and there's nothing wrong with that, folks. But it literally means if you're in the church of Jesus Christ, he called you. And he placed you in the body as it pleases him. He put in your heart where you're supposed to be. Whether you understood everything or not, it didn't make any difference. He'll give you understanding in due time. But he put you where you're supposed to be. And he called. Where did he call you? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't you love him? It is an awesome thing. Now, I've delivered a message from the King. Did you receive it? Do you accept it to yourself? Do you believe in him? Do you trust in Jesus? Amen? Man, this is a holy moment. Lord, you prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. So with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary just for you. Thank you, Lord. I was listening. I wouldn't listen. I was singing. I've got a little guitar. I've got several guitars, a bunch of them, in fact. A little bitty, tiny guitar I bought. I think we were in Branson, Missouri. A little cheap guitar. I wanted in my hotel room while we were there. And I put it on top of my computer. I'll get it down. I'll play and sing. And I remember the song that Dottie Rambo used to sing. And every time I sang it, I would cry almost because it talks about Mama. But just build my mansion next door to Jesus. And tell the angels, I'm coming home. It doesn't matter, Lord, who lives close by me. Just so my mansion is near your throne. My mama's mansion may be near me, across the Golden Avenue. She was the first one to tell me about heaven and the first one to tell me about you. Thank God for mamas. Thank God for Jesus. Vayikra, and he called. Thank you, Father. Let's worship. Let's stand together. O Lamb of God.